This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, who also served as chairman of the House Select Intelligence Committee during his time in the House of Representatives. He is now with the Washington firm of Dickstein Shapiro. One of the many times he came on our program, the congressman was very upset with the president's plans to close Guantanamo Bay, bring some of those detainees to be held here in the United States, and put them in civilian courts. Now it appears the president has largely reversed himself on this policy, and his current policy sounds a whole lot like the Bush administration one. And Congressman, it's great to have you with us again.
Well, hey, thank you. Good to be with you.
What do you think is responsible for this change of heart?
Well, I think what happened is that the president looked at the facts, how best to keep America safe, where best to detain these folks, what best to do once we've captured them and we are detaining them. And guess what? He reached the same decision now that he roundly criticized President Bush for. President Obama has now ended up at exactly the same place.
He tried to go pretty far down this road. Do you think it was some of the detainees who were coming up on trial, like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, potentially, if his plan had continued on course? Was it some of the recent attempted terrorist attacks? Is there any one thing or a couple of things recently that you think tipped his opinion on this?
No, I don't think so. I think when you finally looked at all the facts, he just found out that maybe as distasteful as what some people maybe thought the previous solution was, by keeping Gitmo open and by doing military tribunals, it really was the only option open. This is not a law enforcement matter. This is, you know, we're at war. And I think initially the president tried to believe that this maybe these things could be handled by a law enforcement mechanism, found out that they couldn't be. These people were captured on the battlefield. They weren't captured on the streets by law enforcement. They were captured by soldiers in the middle of a gunfight, in the middle of a battle. And so, you know, finally reached the only conclusion that I think made any sense, was keep Gitmo open and use military tribunals.
And let's talk about each of those. First of all, in terms of the legal process, explain for our listeners why military tribunals are a much better way to go. You mentioned that you don't believe prosecuting these folks, these criminals, these terrorists, is a law enforcement issue. What makes a military tribunal so much more effective and appropriate, in your opinion?
The rules of evidence are a lot different. I'm not an attorney, but as we went through this process, you started to see that you needed different rules of evidence. The materials that, you know, when you capture these people on the battlefield, you don't put up your yellow plastic tape and say crime scene collecting evidence. The rules of evidence are different. The way the trial is conducted is very different. The latitude for finding people guilty is very different. They don't have the same protections as what citizens in the United States may have. It recognizes the reality that war is different than an arrest on the home front. That's what happens when you go through a military tribunal system.
You are obviously a member of the majority and may have been chairman at the time. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that, when the decision was made to place these criminals, these terrorists, in Guantanamo Bay. Explain how that decision was reached and why it was determined to be the right one.
You had to go through a process. When these people were started to be captured on the battlefield, it was recognized that keeping them in Afghanistan, keeping them in Pakistan, keeping them in Iraq, the places that we perhaps captured these people, didn't make the most sense. And so the decision was made, let's consolidate the prisoners that we capture. Let's put them someplace where they're still under U.S. control, but not under or on U.S. soil. As soon as these people touch U.S. soil, they then get all the rights and the privileges of protections of the law that a U.S. citizen would have. Guantanamo was kind of like the perfect place. Number one, it is a secure place. You can't get to Gitmo. You see people coming from miles away. It's on an island. You've got communist Cuba on one side. You've got the Caribbean on the other. That's a good place from a strategic security standpoint to have and to hold these individuals. Secondly, it's under U.S. control, but Gitmo is Cuban soil. It's not U.S. soil. So that means that you can take them there, you can conduct the military tribunals there, and you don't conduct them under the civilian rules that you would find in a civilian court inside the United States. So you put all those things together, and it works pretty well.
I believe it was a few months ago, Congressman, that Dick Cheney was on one of the Sunday morning shows and said that he believed that the Obama administration was doing better on some of these national security policies, largely because they were learning that the Bush administration, in Cheney's opinion, was right in the first place. He mentioned the warrantless eavesdropping on those believed to have terrorist connections and so forth, and obviously now a reversal on this policy. Do you get the sense that, from your perspective, that they're getting better on this, or is this a small step down a long road as you see it?
I'd see they're getting better, but these are small steps along a long road. Even, I think, in announcing that Gitmo was going to be staying open, at least for a period of time, the president indicated that it was, you know, still a priority for them to close Gitmo. And it's kind of like two conflicting statements. Right now, they need to be focused on what it's necessary to keep America safe. They shouldn't be spending any time even thinking about closing Gitmo. But at least the president is still spending some time thinking about that. But, you know, these are small steps. They're steps in the right direction. They make America safer, and for that we should be thankful.
We're talking with former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And, Congressman, as you well know, it's another committee this week that's getting a lot of attention, the Homeland Security Committee, about its attention towards radical Islam and how folks of the Islamic faith are being radicalized and recruited for terrorist activities. There's been a lot of controversy from some Islamic organizations about whether or not that should be the focus of a congressional hearing. What's your sense on the proper setting for this type of hearing, and what's your sense on the outrage surrounding it?
Well, I don't think there's any reason for the outrage. I think Congressman King is going to go forward and do this in a responsible manner. Our allies have done this. I mean, I've met with the Dutch intelligence community a number of times. They've got a whole series of reports on the radicalization process. There's no reason why you can't go through those kinds of hearings and get a better understanding for, number one, what the radicalization process is, number two, how you combat it. That is something that the Muslim community should be very interested in. In the Netherlands, it actually opened up dialogue between the Muslim community and the Dutch government. And for much of the last number of years, the Dutch have believed that they don't worry about the radicalization process in the in the Netherlands as much as they worry about terrorists coming from the outside. The Dutch have managed it very well. We ought to be able to do it in the same kind of professional way. And I think that's exactly what Congressman King is trying to do.
You've studied this perhaps more than just about anyone here in Washington, sir. How well do you think we as a government understand how these folks get radicalized and how to possibly stop it?
Well, I mean, I think that we can understand the process very, very well. I mean, you know, we've got a number of cases where we can take a look at it. The real question is, how do we develop the strategies to combat it and to confront it and ultimately defeat it? You may remember that it wasn't all that long ago, a year and a half with Major Hassan at Fort Hood.
Right.
At that point in time, the administration really refused to even acknowledge that this might be a radicalized case. And when you are unwilling to recognize the radicalization process or the fact that radicalization may actually take place, you will not defeat it. I hope the administration, and again, I've seen signs of this, that they're beginning to recognize the problem more completely. Once you recognize the problem, you'll be able to confront it and defeat it.
Well, we'll certainly be watching and see what the committee can discover throughout its process this week. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, good to be with you. Thank you.
Appreciate it, sir. Former Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra, he formerly represented Michigan's 2nd Congressional District. He's a former chairman of the House Select Intelligence Committee. He's now with the Washington firm of Dick Steen Shapiro. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.